السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس، ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا، وحل الله البيع وحرم الربا، فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله، ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون، صدق الله العظيم. عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله وكاتبه وشاهديه وقالهم سواء، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal makes mention in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second juz of Quran al-Kareem, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً، that O you who believe, enter into Islam in totality, in its entirety. We find that this will only be correct where every aspect of our lives, be it social interaction, be it financially related, is governed by the dictates of Sharia. Then and then only have we entered into Islam in its entirety. You'll find that there are many, many people who take extra precaution when it comes to the rituals, as far as salah is concerned, as far as zakat is concerned, as far as hajj is concerned, yet are totally negligent with regards to those laws of Allah that are related to their business and their income. We find this particular crime where people were dealing in fraud and where people were disobeying Allah with regards to their income. This was the evil that was found in the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam. قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء. أو شعيب, it seems as though your salah, your religion, prohibits us from having flexibility in spending our wealth. إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. This nation Allah speaks about, the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam, in various places in the Quran al-Kareem. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Allah says, woe be to those who deal in fraud. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Allah says, when they have to give, they give less than due. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. When they have to receive, they demand in full. When the time comes to give, then they give less than due. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Allah says, don't these people realize that there is something like accountability before Allah. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When humanity in its entirety, they will converge and they will congregate before Allah, and they will be subjected to hisab and accountability in the court of Allah. My brothers, you might get away in this world, but wallahi, the situation on the day of Qiyamah would be extremely severe. Perhaps it might be opportune to speak about the Mi'raj of the Nabi of Allah. What aspect of this Mi'raj? When Nabi alayhi salam was blessed with that privilege, Allah ta'ala granted him that boon and that bounty, that it transported him into his court, and he stood right in front of Allah. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا. One or two arrow lengths away from Allah. My brothers, every day in every salah, we are reciting the tashahud. For one moment, did we reflect and ponder, where did this discussion take place? Nabi alayhi salam stood in front of Allah and he praised Allah. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. What is the meaning of this? At-tahiyyatu lillah. All verbal praises exclusively belong to Allah. Wassalawatu. All physical acts of worship exclusively are for Allah. Wattayyibat, which makes the focus of my discussion today. All monetary ibadat, all financial related matters are done in a manner that conforms with the commands of Allah. Allah then praised the Nabi of Allah. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my beloved Muhammad. May my choicest blessings descend upon you perpetually. Again, look at the kind nature of the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam did not restrict the mercy of Allah to himself. He said, O my Allah, if you are invoking your blessings upon me, don't restrict it to me only, but invoke it upon all your pious bondsmen. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. The riwayat appears in Abu Dawood. One villager comes to the Nabi of Allah. And we all know the temperament of villagers. So this villager comes to the Nabi of Allah. And Sahaba started smiling at him. He made this dua that Allahumma arhamni warham Muhammad wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. That, O Allah, shower mercy on me, on Muhammad, and besides both of us, shower mercy on no one else. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him. Laqad hajjarta wasi'a. You have narrowed a very vast thing. You have condensed something by its very nature is very vast. Allah's mercy is infinite. Why are you making it limited? Sayyidina Jibreel, who was present to this heavenly discussion, he then responded by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I testify in the oneness of Allah, and I testify that, O Muhammad, you are the servant and the messenger of Allah. Allama Tahtawi rahimahumullah, commentating on this particular hadith, he writes, he says, in essence, if you have to analyze the tashahud, when Nabi alayhi salam praised the Almighty Allah, in essence, the Nabi of Allah made three declarations. The first declaration was, At-tahiyyatu lillah. All verbal praises belong to Allah. Like it is very beautifully said, Har fard hamd, az-zaban har hamid, min al-adhalli ila al-abad, mukhtassun billahi ta'ala. Every word of praise, the tongue of every praiser, from the very inception of the creation of the universe till eternity, is exclusively designated to Allah. Allah said, O Muhammad, if all verbal praises are for me, then assalamu alayka. May the salah, may my peace be upon you perpetually. The second declaration Nabi alayhi salam made was, was-salawat, all physical acts of worship, O my Allah, it is exclusive to you. Allah said, O Muhammad, if all physical acts of worship are exclusive to me, wa rahmatullah, may my rahmat, may my special mercy descend upon you. The third declaration, my brothers, every day we are reciting this in our salah, renewing that pledge that we had taken with the Almighty Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, wa tayyibat, all financial matters will be done in a manner that pleases you. Allah responded by saying, O Muhammad, if what you are telling me, all financial matters are done in a matter that pleases me, then wa barakatuh, what can I tell you? May my special barakah and blessings descend upon you. My brothers, I just want to focus on one aspect. Time is limited. The nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam were guilty of committing fraud in the dealings, and Allah destroyed this nation. Allah in the Quran, this is a vast topic, I will try and encapsulate it. Allah Ta'ala speaks about three punishments that came upon the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam because of dealing in fraud, because of the malpractices in their business. My brothers, today, when a person decides to venture out into business, what happens? You employ the services of an attorney to draw up a contract. You study the rentals. You look at the feasibility. The commodity you want to study. Is it workable? Is it not? You view it from every possible angle. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to walk in the bazaars of Medina and he used to say, La yabi anna fi aswaqina hadhi qawmun lam yatafaqahu fi deen. That any person who has not acquired the knowledge of trade and commerce, the masail of trade and commerce, will not be given permission to trade in the bazaars of the Muslims. When a person opens up a business, what do you do, my brother? You hire an actuary, you study the feasibility, and you view it from every possible angle, but you do not equip yourself with the masail pertaining to trade and commerce. Wallahi, trade is such a wonderful thing. Business is such a wonderful thing. Study the life of the great giant, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah. What a great trader he was. What a great businessman he was. Our mother Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who proposed to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam didn't propose to her. What inspired this woman to give her hand in marriage to the Nabi of Allah? Just to digress for 1 minute. My brothers, unfortunately today, we find there are too many formalities in our community and society. You know, if a girl proposes to a boy, what's wrong with her? You know, where do you find that? Who proposed to the Nabi of Allah? She herself, you know, there is an incident recorded in the Kitabs. When Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu, Bilal ibn Rabah, the great giant, he was the only man who was given the privilege of standing on top of the Baytullah, Bilal ibn Rabah. Today we look down upon the Muaddineen. So he goes to propose to a man's daughter. How does he introduce himself? No fancy CV. How does he introduce himself? Anna Bilal wa hadha akhi abdani min al-habasha kunna abdain fa ataqana Allah kunna dhalin fa hadana Allah in tankihuna falhamdulillah wa in tamna'una fallahu akbar. I am Bilal and this is my brother. No fancy CV. I am Bilal and this is my brother. We are two Abyssinian slaves. We are misguided. Allah guided us. He says, if you give me the hand of your daughter in marriage, well and good. If you turn me down, Allah is the greatest. أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفًا. There was no formalities in the lives of Sahaba. There was no complications in their lives. So nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam were guilty of committing fraud in the dealings. Allah destroyed this nation. Wallahi, brothers, it's a sad reality. It has crippled us as an ummah. It has brought us down. And that is the ayat kareema that I have recited before you. When Allah speaks about interest, usury and riba, let me share with you a few ayat of Quran, a few ahadith of the Nabi of Allah. And logically, my brothers, even if you want to debate it logically, every institution that is based on interest, this is not there to aid you. This is open exploitation. You know, like one person gave an amazing example. He said it's like a little child. You know, you give the child a lollipop to suck on. Once the sweet is finished, you take the stick and you knock it on the child's head. This is open exploitation. The Quran says in the third juz, study the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَكُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَكُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ. Study the consequences in dunya and akhirah. Allah says those who consume interest, لَا يَكُومُونَ, on the day of Qiyamah, when humanity in its entirety will stand up before the Almighty Allah, and the severe horror of the day of Qiyamah would leave every human confused and perplexed. Allah Ta'ala singles out those who were involved in interest. Allah Ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, when you stand up before the Almighty Allah, you would lose your sanity, you will be retarded. Why? يتخبط الشيطان من المس, as if you are under the influence of shaitan. ذلك بأنهم, you will stand, you will stagger, you will fall. ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا, because they are equated business transactions to riba and interest. Brothers, I will quote to you a hadith that will make your hair stand, which unfortunately is that very wealth that is being filtered into our masajid, into our institutions. How many people aren't there who are sitting on the boards of Islamic organizations, going to their personal lives, they are sinking in interest. My brothers, what good when you're at war with Allah? My Nabi said, study the entire Quran, study the entire ahadith. There are only two places where Allah has mentioned the word war. Number one is when it comes to interest. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you will not cancel your transactions of riba, if you will not stay away from interest, Allah says, you have declared war with Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which person can ever win in a war with Allah? Which person can ever win in a war with Allah? So what did they say? Interest and business is the very same thing. Open tafsir Bahr Muhit. Under the commentary of these verses, the scholars have written, they say that in the pre-Islamic era, the pagan Arabs, what they used to do, they used to loan money for a period of time. And used to tell the person, I'm loaning you this money for 1 month, 2 months, 24, 36 months. You pay me so much in return. And they used to justify it. Like you find the banking institutions of today, in lieu of time and respite that is given. What is the definition of interest? كُلُّ زِيَادَةٍ لَا يُقَابِلُهَا عِوَذٍ. Every extra rand that you take in lieu of nothing tangible, it is interest. Every extra rand that you take in lieu of nothing tangible, it is interest. The riwayat appears in Musnad Ahmad on the strength of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. What did my Nabi say? مَنِ اشْتَرَى ثَوْبًا. That person who purchases a garment for 10 dirhams. I gave you the reference, Musnad Ahmad. Ibn Umar is the narrator. That person who purchases a garment for 10 dirhams. My Nabi said, فِي سَمَنِهِ دِرْحَمٌ حَرَامٌ. 9 is halal and 1 is haram. 9 is halal, 1 is haram. My Nabi said, Allah will never accept the salah of that person as long as he is performing salah with that garment. He said 9 is halal, 1 is haram. Allah forbid, today 9 is haram, 1 is halal. Abdullah ibn Umar, he then put his fingers into his ears and he said, Summita, may these ears become deaf if I haven't heard my Nabi saying these words. So what does the Quran say? That those, brothers, we understand from the riwayat, the ulama have written that every good deed that you do in this world will benefit you. And every evil deed that you do will catch up with you either in dunya or in akhirah. By way of an example, the scholars have written, a person's good deeds, his noble deeds in his grave will take up the form of a young lad. When you die, you'll be lying in your grave. These angels will come to you and they will say, Ta'arifuni, do you recognize me? The riwayat of Ibn Abi Dunya, you will say, I don't know you. The angel will say that because of a certain good deed that you had done, Allah had given me the ability to worship Allah on your behalf. I will stand in your grave. I will illuminate your grave. I will see you through the subsequent stages of death. And I will not leave you until I have not seen you entered into the gardens of Jannah. Similarly, my Nabi said that person who is guilty of withholding his zakah, that wealth that you had accumulated in the world, on Qiyamah's day, that wealth will be transformed into a venomous serpent and animal, And that animal, that serpent will poison you, it will bite you. It will say, Anakanzuk Anamaluk. I am your wealth, I am your hoarded treasure. From that which you do not discharge zakah. The ulama have written, why is it that that person who is involved in interest on the day of Qiyamah, he will stand up insane. He will be retarded on the day of Qiyamah. The ulama have written, they say this individual, his crave for wealth, his crave for materialism was so violent that he lost his sanity. He could not differentiate between what was halal and what was haram. Brothers, understand there is a vast difference. I always say this. Allah has taken the responsibility of satisfying the needs of man and not the greeds of man. That extra rand that you are making out of interest, ask yourself the question, is it out of need or is it out of greed? So the Quran says, because they were mad in the quest for wealth, the consequences will be such individuals whose lives were revolving around interest, they will stand up mad and insane and retarded on the day of Qiyamah. These are clear-cut words of Quran Kareem. So what does the Quran say? يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ Allah Ta'ala says, that which you give in charity, that will multiply. And that which you multiplied by via interest, Allah Ta'ala says that wealth will bring you no benefit. My brothers, there are many of us that are sitting here. And this is my message to you. Allah has given some of you so much of wealth. You know of some person or the other. We are not speaking about some extended member in the community. Someone in your own family. You got 5 cars parked off. You're living in a palatial home. You are traveling the world 5 times a year. You're going to the best of restaurants. Your own brother is paying rent for the last 30 years of his life. He's driving a car that's breaking down. My brothers, insaniyat, what does this compel you? Like one brother told me the other day, he said, Mawlana, I spend on my brother. My wife came to me and she's upset. She picked up the bank statement. I said, my brother, are you depriving your wife? No, no. Help your brother. Charity starts at home. You can give charity to the entire world. Give it to every institution. But if you can't look after your own, what good is there in you, my brothers? Somebody comes to you. And this is what the Quran teaches us. That cancel your transactions of riba. Your brother is paying that bond for the last 10 years. You know he's got a basic menial job. Allah has given you surplus wealth. Wallahi, my brothers, come to his aid and his rescue. How much are you owing? 100,000 rands. Take the money, settle the bank. Wallahi, the du'as that will come out from that man's heart. Today, unfortunately, we're living in such a time that somebody wants to venture out into business. My brothers, give me a loan. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? You know, common 10%. 10%, you fix the return. Allah has given you so much. Allah Ta'ala says, no problem. Brothers, ideally the Quran teaches us that Islam says, don't exploit the weakness of that person. Don't exploit the weakness. You know, the man is desperate. Give him that money. Let him start off in life. Allah will give you 10 times the amount. And if you want to take the money back, the Quran says, فَلَكُمْ رُؤُسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ Take the principal amount. Don't take once an extra. Don't take once an extra. This is what Quran teaches us, my brothers. Study the message of Quran. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو أُسْرَ فَنَذِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَ You loan the person money. And this used to happen in the time of Jahiliyyah. Like the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُ الرِّبَى أَضْعَفًا مُضَعَفًا That they used to loan people money for a period of time. On a stipulated time, you can't pay, no problem. 1 month more, pay me 10% more. You extend it for 1 month, give me another 10%. The Quran says, you are eating interest upon interest. And you are taking that same money. And you are putting it into the bellies of your own children. I will tell you just now the consequences. So what does the Quran say? وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرًا. If the person is going through some difficulty, one is those people who go on borrowing money and they don't want to pay and is traveling the world. I recall some time ago one brother told me, he said, Mawlana, this brother is owing me money for the last 20 years. I met them at the airport. Where are you going? Make dua, I'm going for Umrah. I said, with my money, you're owing me money. What Umrah are you going for? The scholars have written it is not permissible to go on Nafil Umrah if you're owing people money. How then will it be possible for you to go on exclusive vacations and take your entire family? Why? My family is putting a lot of pressure. My wife is putting a lot of pressure. So the Quran says, if the man is in difficulty and he cannot pay, the Quran says, be lenient with him in this world. Be lenient with him. It's not going to alter your basic necessities. Be lenient with him. Allah will be lenient with you on the day of Qiyamah. These are the words of Quran. You know the repercussions, my brothers. Open the riwayat of Tirmidhi. Majma'u Zawaid. What did my Nabi say? That inna riba. My brothers, I beg for your undivided attention. These are the words of my Nabi. That inna riba wa in kathura. That verily interest, even if it multiplies your wealth, it is the promise of Allah that inevitably, prior to death, Allah will reverse the situation. Allah will make you and your family taste poverty before you die. The words of the Nabi of Allah. How many families don't we know of? Running a roaring business. Running a roaring business. The entire thing was based on interest. Few years down the line, they have become penniless, they have become paupers. People were living in the best of homes, driving the best of cars. Today they have become recipients of zakat. We know of multitudes of examples. What did my Nabi say? That person who takes interest, Allah's Nabi said, inevitably, prior to leaving this world, you will taste poverty, your entire family will taste poverty. What is the meaning of this? The Shariheen Hadith, the commentators of Hadith, have explored on the statement of the Nabi of Allah, and much commentary has been given. I share with you two observations. They say one is, like I told you, that you will taste poverty before you die. And the second interpretation the scholars have given is that Allah will not take away 1 cent from you. You will earn that money. You will accumulate that money based on interest. Allah will not take away 1 cent from you. But Allah will bring misery and calamities and challenges and difficulties in your life. That money will go from doctors to lawyers to problems, advocates and worries. I mean, how many people aren't there, my brothers? They've got so much of money, but they cannot spend. Why, either the tax man is after him, or either he's suffering. You know, I recall some time ago on a light note, one brother came to me. He said, Mawlana, I went to this dietitian. So he said, you must eat this for breakfast, eat that for lunch, eat that for dinner. Don't eat anything more than that. So I said, my brother, I'm sure you got some animals at home. He said, I've got a dog, I've got a cat, I've got some pigeons. I said, what do your animals eat? He said, I give my dog this, I give my cat that, I give my birds this. I said, my brother, your animals are eating better food than you. What is the use of that money? You cannot enjoy it with your own hand. This is what my Nabi said, that money that you accumulate with interest, just to maintain a image of prestige, to live up to the Joneses. My brothers, live simple, drive a simple car. One is that man who owns nothing of this world. He's got a broad smile on his face. And one is that man who's living in the palatial home. He's traveling the world, international destinations. But look at his heart, insomnia. He's on this pill, that medication. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah Ta'ala says, interest will destroy you. Let us look at few ahadiths very quickly of the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, the hadith I quoted before you, Nabi alayhi salam very rarely in his life did he curse anyone. What did he say? لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ أَكِلَ الرِّبَى. He has cursed the one who consumes interest. the one who gives interest, the one who records the interest, the one who witnesses the interest. Nabi Ali Salam said, "Qalahum sawa." Each one of them are equal in the crime. Each one of them are equal in the crime. Arba'atun, four categories of people. La yudkhiluhum al-jannah, they will never enter Jannah. La yudhiquhum na'imaha, they will never enjoy the bounties of Jannah. Number one, mudminul khamar, the one who imbibes intoxicants. How many of our youth aren't involved in this? Who imbibes intoxicants. Number two, akilu malil yateem, you have usurped the wealth of orphans. Number three, aqli waliday, the one who is disobedient to his parents. And number four, akilu riba, the one who consumes interest. Such, these four people will never smell Jannah. Nabi Ali Salam, it was his noble habit, after Salatul Fajr, he would ascend the pulpit. Sahaba would narrate the dreams to the Nabi of Allah, and he would interpret the dreams. One day Nabi Ali Salam stood up, and he said, "Oh my Sahaba, remain seated. Last night I went to sleep, bearing in vision, this is a dream of a Nabi, not any Nabi, the greatest human that walked on Mother Earth. So this is divine revelation." He said, "I went to sleep. Atani atiyan, I had seen two people in my dream. Fantalaqna ila ardi muqaddasa, I was taken to a blessed land. Fihi nahrum min damin, I had seen a river of blood, a bloody river. Fihi rajulun qa'im, in the center of this river of blood, there was a person that was standing. Wa ala shafi, and on the side of this river, rajulun bayna yaydihi hijara, there was a man standing on the side of the river with stones in his hand. The man in the river was trying to exit from this river, frustrated. Every time he was trying to get out, the man with stones in his hand was shoving the stones down his throat and pushing him deeper into this river." Nabi Ali Salam said, "Ask the angels that tell me who is this man." The angels told me, "Hum akilur riba." These are those people in your ummah who are involved in interest. Nabi Ali Salam, when he went on Mi'raj, he had seen a group of people, butunum kamthalil buyut, whose stomachs were bloating. In fact, under the commentary of this verse of Quran, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, Allah speaks about the Bani Israel, that many things were made haram for them. Interest was made haram for the Bani Israel. The scholars have written that interest and usury was made haram in every divine religion. It's not something confined to Islam. We can well imagine, my brothers, the nature of that crime which was made forbidden in every divine religion. Nabi Ali Salam had seen the group of people, their stomachs were bloating. And Nabi Ali Salam said, "Ask Jibreel, who are these people?" Jibreel said, "These are those people in your ummah who are involved in interest." The ulama have given an amazing parable. They say, one is that person. You look at him, the person is bloated. He puts on weight. He injures his arm. So the arm starts swelling. It would rather be foolish to say that, you know what? That is muscle that this man has on his arm. My brothers, that is not muscle. Outwardly it appears as though the man has muscle on his hands. And one is that person who lives a clean life. The scholars have written, it's like that person who goes to a medical doctor and he gives you a pill to cleanse your system. Outwardly that person appears to be weak and lean on the outside, but your inside is getting cleaned out. Similarly is that person who is involved in interest. It will drop you so hard, my brother. It will drop you so hard. Let us terminate this. So much more I could have told you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we abandon all forms of interest. My brothers, live a simple life. If Allah has given you the means, if you have the wealth, drive the best. Live in the best. Go to the best. But here you're owing the entire world money. You're from the car you drive till the house you live in, the restaurants, your credit cards are maxed, you're going to the most exotic destinations, you're owing the entire world money, your life is sinking in interest. I promise you, my brothers, you will find no joy. My Nabi said, a time will come close to Qiyamah, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ, a time will come close to Qiyamah. لا يبقى أحد إلا أكل الربا. Everyone in this world will be involved in interest in some way or the other. Mufti Mahmood Sahab, the sage of the age, may Allah fill his qabr with noor, when he used to make mention of this hadith, he used to say, indeed the time has come, the time has come. My brothers, for Allah's sake, do not put haram into the belly of your children. Don't put haram into the bellies of your family. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he enters his home and his daughters are sitting. They are holding their stomachs, dying out of hunger. He looks at his daughters. He said, your father has one of two options. I fill your bellies with haram. He said, the naked eye of your father can see his daughter suffering in this world, but the naked eye of your father cannot see his daughters burn in the fire of Jahannam. Brothers, live a simple life. Live in a rented home, you can't afford it. And like I mentioned earlier on, some of us, Allah has given us so much. Learn to loan people. Yeah, again, let me terminate on the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. What did the Nabi of Allah say? You're owing a person money. For every day that that person owes you that money, Allah will give you the reward as though you are giving charity proportionate to that amount on a daily basis. Allah has given us these opportunities, brothers. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we abandon all forms of interest for the pleasure of Allah. Give it up. Cancel those transactions. I promise you, you will see barakah in this world and you will see the everlasting benefits in akhirah. May Allah inspire us.